This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joyces. Here we go again. Is nothing sacred? This is Jim, and no, in our opinion, it's not. But there are some things that we almost revere here on this program. You can join in on our discussion tonight because we've got a fairly open program for the end of the year. So if you want to join in the discussion, it's 0427 Joy 949, that's our SMS, or you can ring Robert on the front desk. He is out there playing patience on the computer, I noticed, on 1300 Joy 949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au and we'd love to hear from you. So what do we like on this show? We like science, evidence and scepticism, and we love talking politics and poking a stick into the odd saw that we find in our line of vision. I'm Jim and I'm in the studio with James. Hello, James.
Hello, Jim.
James is working the buttons tonight.
As usual.
And we also want to acknowledge our missing collaborators. So missing tonight is our usual collaborator and co-host, Steph, because it's her birthday.
Happy birthday,
Happy Steph. Birthday, Steph. We'd play Happy Birthday for you, but we couldn't find the
We'll sing it.
We couldn't find the Marilyn Monroe version. We also want to acknowledge our various collaborators over the year. Claire, who was our regular co-host for a while.
Yes, thank you, Claire.
Patrick, who came back for our second anniversary show and did a joint stint with us. Hello, Patrick. Our regular HIV guest co-host Clovis Palmer from the Burnett Institute.
And he was leading some fantastic discussions this year on HIV and all things treatment.
Right up until World AIDS Day, which was only the 1st of December, only beginning of this month. And also James, our worthy and intrepid podcaster. Without James, we wouldn't be in the record. So thank you, James.
And we must say we're very, very happy with how the podcast downloads are going recently, particularly.
They have been
going
very well.
They've taken off.
They have. It's good, isn't it?
Good to all those people out there, those podcasters.
And we want to say hello to all our Joy colleagues. So all the presenters and volunteers are an amazing bunch of LGBTIQ people who we mostly love. Most of you we love. Sometimes you drive us mad, but most of the time we love you.
We are honest on Is Nothing Sacred. So.
We are.
You'll know if we don't always love you, but mostly we do.
So it's getting near to the end of the year. Tempers are unravelling a bit. Guests are few and far between. People don't seem to really want to commit to a Monday night at this time of the year. Ideas are getting a bit jaded. Songs are recurring, though we're not having any recurring songs tonight.
Not tonight.
And because it's Steph's birthday, she's taking the night off. And I'm off to New Zealand tomorrow, so I might not be here all night either in... I'll be here in body, but my mind might wander.
Everyone wants to know, is it North Island or South Island? A bit of both.
No, it's the North Island. It's the Hawke's Bay region that I'm going to.
Loving green. A bit better than a crispy Melbourne summer.
Apparently it gets about as hot as here, but it isn't at the moment. They've had a lot of rain.
Mm.
So they haven't had our drought yet. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to review a bit of the year, what we loved and what pissed us off most in the world, who we liked and who we didn't. And James and I are both on air tonight, so we might even disagree. But that's okay, since I'm older than his father, and therefore I must be correct. And if he disagrees with me, it's because he's still learning about the world. That's right, isn't it, James?
I suppose, Jim. Well, look, I will say that I was reading recently that... sometimes you can feel more cloudy as you get older and it doesn't have clarity. But I know that's not true for you because you don't drink.
That's exactly right.
Your mind is as sharp as ever.
Yes, you know, wisdom comes with age, they say. But as I always say, age and treachery will always overcome youth and skill. And so, you know, you can choose your own highlights to listen to if we get too boring tonight. We podcast regularly, thanks to James, our podcaster. And there's been some crackers over the year. There's been wonderful podcasts that are up on the joy.org.au podcast site, or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher or those sorts of places that I don't know anything about. And we might surprise you by popping up on them. You'll hear our dulcet tones. Also want to say thanks to Leo and Brian for a very extended version of Sound Museum tonight. They reviewed their year and some of the amazing artists that they've profiled and introduced to us to. So, James, can you think of a favourite thing for the year? Any guests who stood out for you, political events that you gloated about? I've got a few, but we'll talk about that later in the show.
Definitely do.
Go on.
Oh, we're talking now?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, great. I'd probably say more recently we had Sharon Lewin from the Doherty Institute, which was part of a broader... Well, was that World AIDS Day,
I believe. World AIDS Day Eve.
Eve, that's right. I just found that incredibly... I learnt so much from that episode.
It was actually really good, wasn't
and
it?
And we've done a lot on HIV treatment and, you know, so we like to think we know a little bit, but
and
I learnt
in
even
fact,
more that
we
night.
We previewed issues that emerged during the year, because you will remember that a few months ago we previewed with Dr. Vincent Cornelis from one of the inner city clinics, who's an HIV GP. We previewed with him a show called PEP for PrEP, and that was before all the community activism started about PrEP. And so we had quite a lot of discussion over the year on the show about PrEP and what it meant and who should use it and who shouldn't and all that sort of
perhaps
stuff.
And we could say we led the charge to have it.
We sort of did. And Sharon's show, when she came on with her colleague Dr. Thomas Rasmussen, to talk about what they were doing with leading the charge to a cure for HIV and AIDS, really did sort of make a series of shows that in the podcasts make a nice little series of episodes which people could listen to.
I know what I liked about Sharon particularly, though, is we talk a lot about the importance of research, but particularly how research influences public policy, and that's what you're interested in, isn't it?
It sure Jim, is.
Making sure, and I think if anyone sort of know, you know, will be able to draw that link effectively, it's someone like Sharon, because she is a particularly good
communicator.
Well,
she's a very good communicator, and she wears fabulous shoes. What more could you ask?
Exactly. She's a very good communicator and a very good researcher, and so some would say she may one day get one.
Well, we
one
hope.
Of those.
We asked her if she thought she was going to get the Nobel Prize, remember?
Well, she's, of course, very modest.
She is very modest, though. She's doing some fabulous work, and she's highly regarded around the world. The other thing that we're going to do tonight, James, I think we're going to play a bit more music than we normally play, aren't we? Because
yes, well,
we thought
be
that
a clash,
was a good idea.
We always have a bit of a clash of...
We do. So we're going to play some quite diverse music tonight.
We always have pretty diverse music.
We
on
do.
The show,
we don't. We
particularly diverse. Tonight.
We don't play daytime music.
Never.
Very much. And we're hoping that towards the end of the show we're going to be joined by a very special guest here in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Joy's new general manager, Amy Moon, who is slaving away at her desk out there. And so she will hopefully pop her way into the studio near the end of the show.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. I'm here with James. James, that song by Alpine was very overproduced and ambient, didn't you think?
Look, it was a little overproduced, but I did like the ambience, and it's almost atmospheric in a way. I do tend to choose a lot of music like that, but it's what I like.
It's whale music.
That reminds me of Dory from Finding Nemo. Have you ever seen Finding Nemo?
I have, but it must be because you have too many massages. You lie there on a massage table.
I have been
to ambient.
I have been told a little bit like Ab Fab. If I was any more relaxed, I'd probably be dead. But
I don't.
I'm a very chilled kind of person.
I don't think
that's probably
so.
A good thing.
So we're having we're just sort of talking about what we loved and hated during the year, aren't we?
We are.
And so
lots to choose from. Oh my god, we were thinking back over it, and it was
over
hard
the year
to...
has been very good. I mean, one of the shows I really loved was our guest from Deakin University, Professor Samantha Thomas, who talked to us about the evils of poker machines and how that's the sort of new frontier for public health, and how the pokies are weaseling their way into the love and mind of governments and people, and we're losing billions of dollars as individuals every year. And I noticed that this week there's been quite a lot of press about Carlton Football Club taking $17 million worth of profit out on their two clubs that they have out of the pokie machines. And there's been big demonstrations outside there by the anti-pokies community groups to try and get Carlton to put screens up around in their club, so that when people take their kids to have lunch there, they can't see the pokie machines, and they're refusing to do it. So I think this is a sort of a... this is going to be an interesting fight to watch.
Well, you can't go on when that sort of money's involved. It doesn't come out of thin air.
It comes from predominantly
pockets. Problem gamblers.
Yeah, that's right.
People and that's what the research shows. So it won't be able to go on because it'll just be too damaging on the broader society.
Well, it's going to have to lead to significant political reform, one would have thought, because governments are taking so much tax hike off those pokies.
Well, isn't it? I think as well what I learned from her is that it's a lot... there's a lot more of a problem now with younger, particularly younger males, because of the internet gambling has changed. You know, it's not just...
yeah, there's
slots.
Pokies on the internet now, slots and things like that, but also they target young people and give them credit that then they then ask for back at the end of the thing.
But don't you think, would you say, Jim, as well, that it does propose a broader issue of not just problem gambling, but there's lots of other public health and issues where they intersect very, very closely with political will and donations, and how that is stopping reform.
Absolutely.
So how we'll overcome those in the next few years.
Well, the interesting thing is going to be to see whether the Turnbull Prime Ministership can survive or whether it begins to unravel.
I know your thoughts.
Some of the first cracks appeared today when the Liberal National Party executive in Queensland refused to allow former Minister Ian McFarlane to swap from the Liberals to the Nationals, because, of course, in Queensland they're all one party, so he wanted to swap from one part of the party to the other part of the
heard
party,
this,
and they
Jim.
Said no.
Really?
So
this is news.
It is news, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens and how Malcolm Turnbull manages to work his way through that, because, you know, really the great thing that Malcolm Turnbull's got going for him, and I do give him credit for this, is that he's not Tony Abbott.
Oh, at a low bar that was set.
However, he is the Prime Minister of a government made up of the same members of Parliament with the same policies. And I haven't seen much indication of changing. He has changed the wind farms one.
Well, Greg Hunt was spending Greg Hunt was describing how, there's never actually been any change. You know, we could always invest in wind turbines. So apparently, on his own admission, there has been no change. So,
well, they now have to innovate. They have to have an innovation.
Well, I thought on that as well, Jim, I thought that was quite not hilarious. It's nothing much of a joke on these things. But in the innovation package, the $1 billion, a large chunk of that was returning funds that had already been taken out of the CSIRO.
Right.
And it's sort of like you go, so you have a bar set that low, you take funds out, then you put them back in, you get praise for it.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see what they do with the climate change agreement in Paris, whether or not they put back into the foreign aid budget a lot of the cuts they've taken out, but just repackaged it as climate change aid. So I suspect that's what they're going to now do. It's an easy way of, or it's a sleight of hand way of dealing with the so-called budget deficit, isn't it?
It is.
So I think, look, some of the other things that I thought were really good was that we had a lot of concentration this year on human rights. And we had Emily Howie from the Human Rights Law Centre, and we had Elaine Pearson from Human Rights Watch, Human Rights Watch is the big American international human rights organisation that has been monitoring human rights abuses in the Middle East and Syria in particular, and who've opened up an office in Sydney, headed up by an Australian, Elaine Pearson, and we had some really good talks with them about what it means to be an asylum seeker and what the legalities are, and the fact that it's not illegal to be an asylum seeker. In fact, you're protected by law to be an asylum seeker.
Which is why they've had to excise sections of our country.
Well, I think the whole country's just about excised now, isn't it?
Mm.
But you it's had a favourite guest in that area too.
Yes, I thought the very, what's the word, very young and...
And a bit naive in some ways.
Was probably for the best in her situation. She was a whistleblower in the end, and there's not many protections, particularly now for that. But Samantha Betts came on the show, and I think probably the thing that stuck with me the most was her very concise and well-argued analysis.
She worked on Nauru.
Yeah, so she saw it firsthand. Yeah. So it was her own, you know, first-hand witness from this, but she set out a very clear example why she thought, in her opinion, that Christmas Island and Nauru detention was far worse than prison. And, you know, you sort of think, oh, well, that's maybe a political statement, but she ran through and she said, well, when you're incarcerated, you have a trial, a fair trial. That
you know why.
You know why it's going on. You then get a sentence. That is a known period of time. And you, none of which you get in detention,
and you get
obviously.
Looked after.
You get looked after with shoes, which you don't get, which I was shocked to know. The Australian government do not issue shoes.
And clothes.
And nutritious food.
And medical.
Other than
and
rice.
Medical care.
And exactly. And I just, once she, the way she put it out so simply and clearly, it really is a, I know it's been said before, but it really is a... just a horrible thing to be effectively condoning. I mean, unfortunately, we all are through our proxy through the government. It's a shocking thing.
It is an awful thing, and we've opposed it on this show from the time we started.
We have. I suppose it'll be, again, how the politics, you know, informs that policy. There's been slow shifts in children out of detention, but everything else has been moving very slowly.
I think there have actually been slow but positive steps by people in the major parties, because they you know, they're all beginning to see that this is not working and they have to find some other way of doing it.
Mm.
And so, you know, if you look at the policy positions of the major parties, they're a bit different to what the practicalities of the operation, or, you know, on the water operational things are now.
I think there are certainly members that are privately worried at this stage, and hopefully more than that in the future.
Well, hopefully, you know, it would be nice to see a multi-party attack on this issue, which there used to be in the old days.
It will have to be, ultimately. Otherwise, it'll just be played in politics. In some ways, we would like to get to a situation, perhaps how we've had in Victoria, where the politics was, and has, to a certain extent, race politics has been taken out of the state since, would you say, probably, not Houston.
Since Napthine and Bailey's day.
Yes, but also probably going back further to Fraser. I mean, he was very much Victorian-based, and he certainly wasn't a fan of...
Fraser was an interesting person because he was a real liberal in the political liberal sense, in the political theory, the Edmund Burke liberals, so, you know.
And he brought, and of course bringing many thousand of the Vietnamese.
Well, he authorised 45,000 immigrants from Vietnam who mostly arrived by boat who've contributed massively to the country. Melbourne would not be the same city without the various little Vietnams that are around the place. The Springvales, the Footscrays, the Abbotsfords and so on. Imagine not being able to go out and get a pho.
Exactly.
Any of those sorts of things.
And I suppose it's about those individual conversations. How many young people these days actually know that that's part of the fabric of, you know, people that have arrived by boat? That it's really important to celebrate.
And for a country that is actually an immigrant country, with the exception of the First Nations people, the Aboriginal people of Australia, everybody arrived by boat.
It's in one way or another. Exactly.
And you know, some of the best supporters for asylum seekers and migration are Aboriginal people, because they understand it and they've seen the benefits and the downsides that it can bring, I think.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9, and James and Jim are here on Is Nothing Sacred, rabbiting on a bit, talking about what we've been doing through the year and who we've had on, and memorising or having a little think through what we've liked. So, James, what would you like to see in the coming year? I know what I'd like to see in the coming year.
What would I like to see? Well, probably, politically, it'd be nice to have a bit more strategic thinking from the progressive side of politics.
Well, I'd like to see that too. I would like to see the progressive side of politics stop sniping each other and start actually taking the opportunities that they have to build some alliances. You know, the Australian public understands alliances in politics, and so it would be good to see a bit more of that.
We must say it is easier for there to be conservative alliances because there's less disagreement on anything. But it is important in order to win, you need to create coalitions.
Well, James, just walked into the studio. As I said, our very special guest that we said we were hoping we were going to be able to get in here tonight, and that's Amy Moon, the General Manager of Joy. So we're going to talk to her after we've finished rabbiting this bit on. So welcome, Amy.
Thanks, Jim.
Talk later. So, yeah, well, I'd like to see a bit more of some really good progressive politics. You know, I'd like to see the practical things I'd like to see is governments who are prepared to look at what the evidence says will make things work and do it and hold the line and not give in at the first moment that somebody says, I don't like that. And, you know, the things that I'd like to see is really trying to tackle things like the obesity epidemic and the alcohol epidemic and the poker machines epidemic and all those sorts of things.
So I believe you have a view on the sugar.
I do have a view on sugar, fat and salt. I think we ought to price them out of existence. So we should do what we did to cigarettes, which was to price them. Pricing signals do work. We know that. We've got lots and lots and lots of evidence and studies and outcomes of existing policy to show us that. And we really do need to. We really need to take the lessons we learn in one part of politics and apply them in other parts of politics.
Do you think it's going to be quite an uphill battle to tax something that is in most processed foods? That's the problem.
But, you know, that might drive the processed food manufacturers to reconstitute their food. But also we're going to have this big debate over the next year on tax and what are we going to do about tax and all that sort of stuff. And while we're having that debate, everything ought to be there being talked about. You know,
well, we probably need to watch for, in particular, about fresh fruit and vegetables and non-processed foods becoming part of GST, because you would, by extension, Jim, I would say you'd be very much against.
I'm totally against the GST. I think we ought to abolish it and have a proper income tax system.
But I suppose essentially if the GST is acting like a tax on processed foods, if that were to go up, then if it wasn't applied on fresh fruit and vegetables, it would potentially be a de facto tax on those type of goods.
Well, it just depends. It depends on how you apply it. I mean, I always have argued that a GST is very regressive, but some economists will say it's not regressive if you actually build in the proper protections and the compensations for poorer parts of the community. But
there lies the problem.
But it's still the problem. Basically, is how do you define that? And it's still an avoidable tax. You know, we've got a really big black economy because of the GST. Wouldn't it be nice to think that that could be done away with? And there are ways of doing away with that, like financial institutions duties, which we abolished when we got a GST. But you can't avoid a financial institutions duty. And if you're really wealthy and you transfer $1 million, you're going to have to pay for it. And, you know, or the Warren Buffett tax. And Warren Buffett in the US, who's a multi-zillionaire, he says that no millionaire should pay less tax than the average tax that ordinary taxpayers pay. And that would be a good benchmark, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But I suppose it's always been in practice. It's how you implement that. It's very difficult when, particularly in a modern world where you can...
You regulate. I'm a great believer in regulation. Let's do it.
Well, I'm itching to jump in here.
Go on,
go on. Oh, I can't stay silent any longer. I think the GST on food products is a moot point while big fast food corporations are avoiding paying tax to the sum of billions of dollars.
Well, that is so true.
And I think there was something earlier this year, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention, a particular...
Don't you mention a brand on here. You know better than any of us. You know, we scoot around brands all the time on our HIV shows when we start talking about probiotics. We know two
certain
probiotic...
Certain drinks in
know
the morning.
We know two probiotic... Two probiotics are in two very well-known brands of yogurt and probiotic drinks, and we can't mention them online on air, and we should be able to. We should have them as our sponsors, really.
Well, let's just say one of the big fast food giants, it was brought to light some months earlier this year that they were avoiding something to the tune of $500 million of tax by... channeling their profits through Southeast Asia. And I just find that to be appalling in this country that we're talking about increasing the GST on food, basic food items, when things like that are just allowed to continue. It appalls me.
You know, the one reason why I think it's a great thing that Clive Palmer is in Parliament is because he has to pay PAYE tax on his parliamentary salary. Probably the only tax he's paid for years.
Well, may you say that, Jim, but I couldn't possibly comment.
No, of course not. Well, there you go, listeners. There is our general manager, Amy Moon, and we're going to be talking to her in a minute about what's going to happen around here, we hope, over the next little while, what her plans are. I'm sure she didn't arrive at Joy with an empty head. In fact, I know she didn't arrive at Joy with an empty head because she certainly hasn't been displaying an empty head since she's been here.
What a compliment. Jim, and they're rare from you.
Have you managed to put another CD in that antiquated piece of technology we've got over there, James, or not?
Yes, but we do actually need to go to a few messages. Oh, but well, you can announce your song that'll be shortly after.
I hunted around and found a Robbie Williams song, which I think that most people probably won't have heard, and hopefully we're going to have that in a minute. But we are going to have some announcements, I believe, because we need our announcements. There's a good reason for having announcements. It keeps us on air. And listeners, as you know, I go on about this every week. Announcements are like your memberships. And the more of you who join, the fewer announcements we'll need. But we would really like to have you join. It's easy to join Joy. You go to joy.org.au, which is the web page, and you click on the bit that says memberships.
And we're all members.
And we're all members.
Everybody that's on air are all members.
We are. So we've all done the taste of radio.
We walk the walk, we talk the talk.
It's not all that expensive. And you can be here as a member of the Joy family. You're allowed to vote in the AGM. You're allowed to participate in Joy events. And look, you know, a membership is $96 for a family or $72 for an individual. And since you can win a prize every 7 days,
Pay it back.
You get it back.
Not to mention, it's our 94 days of summer. We've just launched an amazing campaign starting today.
I believe you were up at 7:30 or something ridiculous this morning and in here doing it on air on the Brekkie Bears, weren't you?
I was. But, you know, radio never stops when you're the GM.
True. It goes off in my house in the morning as my alarm with the 7 o'clock news, and then I have to listen to those breakfast people.
Who we love. We love them.
Oh, we love them. Well, we've already said we love all the announcers, most of them, and some of them we love to hate.
Well, look, as you say, it's a Joy family. I thought that was very appropriate. It is a bit like a family. Sometimes it's dysfunctional, but most of the time it's all...
They just need
to
have more of us, I think.
Of course, well, you would say that.
Well, of course.
Now, we do need to go to these messages.
Oh, well, let's go to those messages, and then we will go to Robbie Williams.
We will. A surprising choice for you, Jim.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
That's right, Joysters. This program does have a podcast, thanks to James, our podcaster, and you can subscribe to it on joy.org.au or on iTunes and Stitcher and all those sorts of things. And we have had quite a lot of downloads of our podcast because of all those sorts of things we've been talking tonight about, like HIV, PrEP, human rights, science and all that sort of stuff. But I'm very pleased to say, as we announced before, that we have in the studio with us tonight I'm doing inverted commas in the air, everybody. General Manager for Joy, Amy Moon, who's come here from Sydney, I believe.
Amy, what prompted the move?
Well, the job, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I did live in Melbourne before, and I said when I left and went back home to Sydney that, well, that's where my family is. I said that I would...
You mean your mum and dad?
I do, and my kitty. I said I would never rule out coming back to Melbourne, and if the right job came up, I'd be back in a heartbeat. And I think the rest, as they say, is history.
So what's
here
your highs and lows for the year, politically and broadcast-wise?
Oh, politically, there's so many. I was thinking about this a little earlier. What can I say? I love the fact that Victoria has the first gender and sexuality commissioner.
And she's wonderful. She's been a guest on our show.
She's amazing. I love that there's a minister for equality in Victoria, something New South Wales could learn a few things from. As we know, the Baird government was re-elected in the state New South Wales back in March. Look, I wouldn't say that was a high point, but it was an interesting time back in March. Lots of changes there at state government. But Queensland had a state government change this year as well, which
South Australia didn't.
Which was exciting. Yes, true. But I think one of the highs for me actually happened in Britain, and it was when Mary Black from the Scottish National Party was elected to Parliament, and she gave, I'm not sure if you remember, she gave that fantastic maiden speech in the House of Commons.
She's, I think, one of the youngest ever members of Parliament in the UK.
Youngest for over a century. And she said two really great things. One was that as someone under the age of 21, that she was the only 20-year-old in the UK who had their housing subsidised since the Chancellor cancelled all housing subsidies for people under 21. But I did love the line that she used, which was, I didn't leave the Labour Party, the Labour Party left me. And I thought that's very interesting when you apply that in an Australian context, because, you know, there's a lot of flack that happens between the Labour Party and the Greens here. And I think a lot of people who've moved away from the Australian Labor Party feel like the Labor Party really left them. So it'll be interesting to see what 2016 brings for Bill Shorten. And
that
would be an interesting discussion to have at some stage.
And that would be quite compatible with what we're saying. Perhaps it's the year of a more collaborative
coalition.
Collaborative on the progressive side. Well, if people of a large cohort of people feel that they've been left,
I did notice that Richard Di Natale did say on Sky News and on Kitchen Cabinet that he saw his future as being a minister for the environment in a Labor-led government. Mm. Well, if he does think that's his future, he ought to get on with it.
Jim will be sceptical, but others will
I
be
will
otherwise.
I will be sceptical.
Well, we should all be.
One man's scepticism is another woman's hope, perhaps.
What about broadcasting highlights? Of course, you must have been listening to his Nothing Sacred ever since you got here.
Well, naturally, but I do have to say the broadcast content that was put together on World AIDS Day this year was a real standout for me. I think it just showed that we don't have to necessarily have an OB in an event in order to produce really great radio. And Dean Beck and the team did a fantastic job.
And we led that in with Sharon Norton and Thomas Rasmussen on our show.
Brilliant
and we
interview.
We were very pleased to do that. And that's now a podcast. If you want to listen to that podcast, everybody, as I keep saying, go to joy.org.au, the podcast page, and find the Sharon Lewin and Thomas Rasmussen interview, because it is a really revelatory interview, I think. It talks about the cure and the possibility of a cure for HIV and where we're going in this state under the research leadership of Sharon Lewin, and she wears fabulous shoes.
A remarkable lady. Amy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. This has been so delightful.
Don't make this the last time.
It better not be.
Oh, absolutely not.
You do have to stay up, though, until 10 o'clock to come on the show.
I don't mind. I'm a night owl. And an early bird, it would seem.
It seems so. I heard you this morning.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the show, Jim. Would you like to say good night?
Yes, well, good night, everybody, because it is the end of this particular show, and we'll be searching for lots of really interesting guests and new topics for shows next year. If you want to hear anything in particular, put it on our Facebook page, and we'll try and sort it out. Otherwise, go and listen to our podcasts.
And we've got now the little pot of joy.
We will have a little pot of joy in a moment.
We will. Good night.
Good night, all.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.